Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series Pit to Promise.
All right, this is week three of our series. We've been in Pit to Promise. If it's your first time here, maybe you missed last week, let me kind of quickly catch you up on what this series is really about, right? This series is about kind of this common experience we all have, right? We all go through times in our life where things don't work out like we want them to. We all go through pits. We all go through situations where we are betrayed, situations where people do things to us that we don't want them to do. We go through heartbreak. We go through heartache. We go through all these things, right? And when we get to those places in our lives, typically that's when they're at their darkest, when they're at their bleakest, and we tend to feel completely and totally alone. And what we've been talking about this entire series is that if you have a relationship with God, and if you have given Him your life, and if you trust in Him, and if you have faith in Him, that even in the midst of that pit, He can deliver on a promise. And the promise is that He can even turn that situation into good. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks, and we've been sharing some stories, and we've really been focusing on this man named Joseph. This man from the Old Testament, which basically tells the story of God creating the heavens and the earth, and then choosing to move through one people, the nation of Israel. And we've been studying this story about a man named Joseph, who was actually the 11th son of a man named Jacob. Jacob was also called Israel, and the nation of Israel actually comes from those 12 brothers. Joseph was the second youngest of the brothers. He had 10 older brothers. He eventually has one younger brother that he doesn't know about, but he has 10 older brothers. But there was a problem with this family, and it was that Jacob had a favorite son. How many of you parents know? Even if you have a favorite, keep it to yourself. I sometimes have favorite children, but it seems to change on a daily basis. It is directly proportional to how well they behave. The better they behave, the more they are my favorite. Isn't it a good thing our God does not treat us the same way? And so, anyway, Jacob had a favorite. Joseph was his favorite. It wasn't even close. He didn't hide it. The other sons all knew Joseph was his favorite. Jacob actually gave his son a beautiful coat, a beautiful robe that the brothers were all jealous of. It actually indicated that Joseph would never have to work a day in his life, which didn't seem to sit well with the brothers. Joseph was also a dreamer. He would have dreams, and he would share the dreams with his family because he was naive. And in these dreams, it seemed like God was telling him that one day his entire family was going to bow down before him. And now when you got 10 older brothers who already hate your guts, it's not a good idea to share a story with them that involves them bowing down to you. And so they got really jealous of Joseph, and they decided to kill Joseph. They eventually taught themselves out of killing him because, after all, he is their brother. That's what they say. And instead of killing him, they sell him into slavery. Teenagers, don't get any ideas. This is not for you. And parents don't get any ideas either to your kids. And so anyway, Joseph is sold into slavery. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's bought by a man named Potiphar, who is the captain of Pharaoh's army in Egypt. Joseph works his way up through the house of Pharaoh and ends up running Potiphar's house. So last week we talked about how, look at this, God's fulfilled his promise. He was in this pit. He ends up running Potiphar's house. But then Mrs. Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, starts hitting on Joseph. Joseph resists because Joseph's a good dude. Joseph has integrity. Mrs. Potiphar doesn't like that very much, so she lies about Joseph and accuses Joseph of attacking her. Well, Mr. Potiphar clearly believes his wife, and Joseph is thrown into prison. And that's where we left Joseph last week. Joseph had been in a pit. He'd worked his way all the way out of it, and then boom, now he's back down in a pit again. Here's where we left him. So he took Joseph, this is Potiphar, and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. So maybe you've noticed a pattern here. These pits that keep coming up in Joseph's life are completely and totally out of his control. It wasn't Joseph's fault. His brothers were jealous. He didn't make himself the favorite. His dad declared that. It wasn't Joseph's fault that they decided to sell him into slavery. They were just selfish. It wasn't Joseph's fault that Mrs. Potiphar hit on him. Oh, Joseph did the right thing. Joseph actually did what he was supposed to do. He refused. He fled the temptation. Yet he still ended up in pits. How many of you know today that oftentimes the pits in your life come and they are not your fault? In fact, you couldn't have prevented them. There's nothing you could have done. Now, sometimes the pit are your fault, right? Like, sometimes they're your fault. So if they are your fault, don't worry. I mean, God's still God, and God's going to deliver on his promise. But come on, if they're your fault, you got to own that, right? You got to own it. But most of the time, they're not. They're completely and totally out of our control. And that's what happened to Joseph. See, we can't control the pits in our life. We can only control our response in the pit. And honestly, that's why we're reading Joseph's story. That's why we're spending 4 weeks on Joseph's story. Because Joseph's response in the pit is what gives me hope. And Joseph's response in the pit, Joseph's response when time after time after time after time, things don't go his way. Joseph never once turns his back on God. Joseph leans into God and says, God, I'm not letting go until you fulfill this promise in my life. For some of you today, I know that sounds like the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life because you don't believe in God. You're not even sure why you're here. You knew somebody in the band. Somebody offered to pay you lunch. It was raining and you couldn't go on the beach anyway. So you're like, fine, I'll go to the YMCA to work out. Can't work out. I'll get a free donut and I'll go sit in this room, listen to church for an hour. Right? Like maybe, you know, that's you. Okay, so I get it. I get that this sounds crazy to have faith in a God when, you know, you're thinking, why didn't God just stop the pit from happening in the first place? That's a great question. I don't know the answer. It's like we've been saying for 2 weeks. Sometimes pit happens. It just does. But as we learned last week, God won't leave the pit until you do. That's the promise Joseph began to realize. That's what Joseph began to cling to. And we can notice Joseph's response when he was in the pit. Because not only did Joseph cling to God in the pit, Joseph knew that God had an exit strategy for the pit. And no matter where you are today, our God has an exit strategy for your pit. But even if you're on your way out, as long as you're in it, God's going to be in it with you. He will never ever leave you. And that's one of the first things the story wants to make us known. As soon as we know that Joseph is heading back to prison, the very next verse makes this clear. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. Joseph's in a new pit, and the Lord was with him in the pit, showing him his faithful love. That means God is going to show you his faithful love in your pit. In your darkness, in your darkest hour, when you are struggling, God is going to be there with your love. And I know what you're thinking. God, why can't you just show me your love in Cabo? That'd be so much better. I love you, God, and I want to feel your love, but how about Cabo? Why not? How about not the pit? And here's what God would say. I'm going to show you love in Cabo someday. Come on. Or wherever it is you want to go. But we're not talking about Cabo right now. We're talking about the pit. We're talking about your present reality. We're talking about your present situation. And God needs you to know he's with you. He has not forgotten. He has not taken the day off. He has not moved on to someone else. If you're in the pit, he has an exit strategy. He's going to fulfill his promise exactly like he did to Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. He was with him. And I think for Joseph, it was easier to experience it this time. As we said last week, the first pit is usually the worst pit. See, Joseph had already been through the first pit. He'd already been through sold into slavery, what ends up in Potiphar's house, and he saw what God did. Dude, God was with me. God blessed me. He raised me up to run this house. God's favor was on me because I clung to him. So as he heads back into prison, I don't think Joseph was as afraid because he had already experienced this happen before. It's what we talked about last week. Joseph had understood this principle that the best way to recognize God's plan in the present is to remember his actions in the past. God had already worked in his life once before, almost in this exact situation. And for most of us, this is not the first pit. If you're in a pit right now, it's not the first pit in your life. Other bad things have happened, and you've seen God work through them. You've seen God bring you out of them. And so we've got to cling to that. We've got to cling to that faith. We've got to cling to that relational, I almost call it like a faith account. We've seen God do thing after thing after thing. So when the next thing happens, we can either freak out, or we can say, you know what, God's actually helped me through this and this and this before, so he'll probably help me now. See, that's why we're reading Joseph's story, because some of you don't have any of that faith account. You never experienced any of this. You don't have a relationship with God. And so until we can build your faith account up with what God's going to do in your life, we can read Joseph's story. And we can see what he did in Joseph's story. And we can know that the same God that moved through Joseph's life and continued to fulfill his promise time after time after time. That same God is ready and willing to move in your life if you let him. It's the very same God. And often, when the pits are similar, God's promise is similar as well. So Joseph had been thrown into slavery. He rises up. Now he's thrown into prison. And guess what happens? The Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Joseph clings to God. God gives him favor and success. The warden notices and begins to like Joseph. The same exact thing had happened when he was in Potiphar's house. He had worked hard. He had been a good slave. He had decided to not wallow in his own self-pity. And he had decided to say, you know what, God, I'm still going to honor you. I'm going to do my absolute best. And God blessed him for that. And Potiphar noticed. God's blessed him again, and the prison warden notices. See, there's a pattern here. When you're in the pit, you can either have a breakdown or a breakthrough. You can choose to turn your pit stop into an eternal destination. Your car can break down, and it's done. Or you can say, hey, I'm in a pit right now. But God, I trust you. And I'm going to continue to serve you. I'm going to continue to do everything I can every day. And I'm going to trust you with the results. That's what Joseph did. At this point, Joseph, for you Shawshank Redemption fans, Joseph has become Andy Dufresne, minus the money laundering and embezzling. But Joseph is the warden's favorite, dude, and the warden starts giving Joseph stuff to do, just like Potiphar did. Look at this. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. Sound familiar? If you're here last week, the exact same thing happened in Potiphar's house. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Now, I don't want you to miss this because this is important today. Two pits, two problems, two promises fulfilled in exactly the same way. Joseph's thrown into a situation he has no control over, the lowest of the low. Joseph chooses in that moment, you know what, I'm not going to get down. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do my best. And God raises him up through the ranks to the best possible outcome in each situation. See what I see? You see two problems. I see two patterns. I see that God works through people's pits in kind of the same way. See, think back on the struggles in your life. Think back on the pits in your life. Think back on the lowest points in your life. See if you can discern any patterns. Does God tend to use the pits in your life to remove people from your life that don't belong there? Does God tend to use the pits in your life to strengthen relationships with other people? Maybe strengthens your marriage. Maybe strengthens your relationship with your children. Does God tend to use the pits in your life to possibly prepare you for something you never would have imagined? Does God maybe use the pits in your life to change a rhythm in your life to get you back on His wavelength? Does God maybe use the pits in your life to get your attention? To get your focus? See, the reason I'm asking is because I believe that the same God that moved through Joseph's life moves through our life. And I believe that when there is a pit, there is a pattern. When there is a struggle, there is a solution. See, you have pits in your life right now you've never experienced before, but guess what? Somebody in this room has. Somebody in this church has. Somebody in your community has. And they know the pattern out of the pit. They beat it. And so I think as we reflect on God, and that's what Joseph's going to do in a moment, as we reflect on what God's done in our life, and we begin to learn the patterns in our life of the problems that have happened in the past, and we see what God's done in the future, it becomes easier for us to help other people. Because when there is a pit, there is a pattern. There's life experience you can cling to give you faith in the next pit, and to also do something else, something Joseph does in this moment that blows me away. It's the reason the story is about Joseph and not me, because I don't know that I could have done what Joseph does next. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's continue the story. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Now, this was a big deal. These two guys worked very closely with Pharaoh. And in Egypt, Pharaoh wasn't just a ruler. He was a god. What Pharaoh said was law, and there was no questioning Pharaoh. He was in complete and total control, right? And his chief cupbearer, what was the guy who kind of stood beside him at all times and held his wine cup, But he was also responsible for making sure it was the kind of wine Pharaoh would want. He had to taste the wine before and make sure it was good. He also had to taste the wine beforehand to make sure he didn't die. Because sometimes somebody might want to kill Pharaoh, try to have a coup. And so the chief cupbearer actually tasted all the food and all the wine first. And if he was alive in 5 minutes, then Pharaoh ate. Not really a great job, but apparently he wanted it. And so he upsets Pharaoh. We don't know what he did. We don't really know what happened. But that's the chief cupbearer. The chief baker, well, it's really technical. He baked. The Hebrew's fascinating. He was a baker. So he baked food. I don't know how he offended Pharaoh, but he did. So these two cats get thrown into prison, right? They get thrown into jail. And when you know it, they end up where Joseph is. So Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time. And the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. So these guys have just stepped into their own pits. They don't know what's going to happen. Pharaoh's in complete and total charge, and they made him mad. There's no guarantee they'll ever get out of prison again. They have no idea. And they end up under the care of Joseph. And Joseph says, and it tells us that while they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. Now, this is where we're getting to the point where I don't understand Joseph, and he's just a way better dude than I am. Right? Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Joseph had worked his way up with God's help to be the head of Potiphar's household and was betrayed again by Potiphar's wife and was thrown back into prison. He's now in prison, and these two other dudes are thrown into prison, and they look sad. So sad. And Joseph has the wherewithal within himself to look past himself and to ask them, what's wrong with you? Now, if I'm Joseph, I'm kicking the door down and saying, really? You want to complain? Let's go story for story here. At least you're in your homeland. At least you speak the language. At least your brothers didn't sell you into slavery. Are you kidding me? You're sad? Turn that frown upside down before I punch you in the face. That's what I would have said if I was Joseph. Which, again, is why the story is not about me. Joseph notices that they're sad. And even in the midst of his pit, he has compassion on them. And he says, why do you look so worried today? Think about that. In the midst of his own pain, in the midst of his own struggle, in the midst of his own pit, he's able to recognize pain in others and reach out and try to help them. See, when we are in pits, oftentimes we get tunnel vision and we lose the idea that there's still stuff going on around us. Joseph doesn't do that. Joseph is able to recognize that even though I'm in a pit, I can cling to God and I can step into theirs. I can step into their pain. I can step into their struggle and I can help them. Now you may be thinking right now, why would I ever want to step into someone else's pain? Why would I ever want to step into someone else's problem? Then they might call me and actually ask for help. See, one of the biggest lies we tell on the planet is when we look at somebody and say, anything you need, let me know. You know what that means? I will avoid your call for a week. I will put on Facebook that I'm praying for you. That's it. But so why would you, in the midst of your own pain, in the midst of your own struggle, in the midst of your own pit, why would you ever step into somebody else's pain? Why would you ever step into somebody else's trouble? Well, number one, it's like we talked about. Pits are lonely. You feel completely and totally by yourself. So a true friend is the one who's willing to walk with you in the pain, right? Because that true friend is modeling the love of Jesus himself. Because Jesus will never step out of the pit until you do. And so when you have a friend, or when you can be a friend that can step into somebody else's pain, into somebody else's struggle, you are modeling for them what God's love is actually all about. And secondly, it might just be that you have something to teach them. It might just be that your struggles can help their lives. Let me ask you this question. What if your pit is part of someone else's promise? Think about that. What if the pain and the struggle and the difficulties and the hurt and the worry and the fear, what if the pain you've gone through, God wants to use to help someone else? Are you willing to share your pain? Are you willing for God to use the thing that happened in your life that still hurts you, it's the worst things that ever happened to you? Are you willing to let God use that to help someone else? See, that's what our boy Joseph is doing. Do you really think he wanted to talk about dreams? Dreams were the reason he was there. If he just kept his mouth shut about the dreams he'd had, I highly doubt his brothers would have ever sold him. They would have never had the nerve. But he talked about his dreams, and that led directly to his pits. So now here's somebody else struggling with dreams. I don't think there's any part of Joseph that wanted to lean into this. But he does, because he knew, what if your pit is part of someone else's promise? What if the lessons you've learned in your pit, God can use to help someone else? So Joseph leans in, and they both replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." Joseph says, "Interpreting dreams is God's business. Go ahead and tell me your dreams." Think about it. These guys are having dreams. These guys have been thrown into prison, probably falsely accused. I think Joseph could relate pretty well to what they were going through. And he could have chosen to ignore, but he doesn't. He chooses to engage. He chooses to lean in. He chooses to say, "Hey, if God can use my pain to help you, I'm going to let it happen. Because I trust God that much." So he leans in, and the cupbearer tells him a story. So the cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream, I saw a grapevine in front of me, and the vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." This is his dream. Joseph responds, "This is what the dream means. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cup bearer." So that's pretty good news, right? That's great news. Now, I don't believe any of you in this room can interpret dreams. If you can, we should talk afterwards. I've had some weird dreams lately, and I'd love to figure out what they mean. But you can share your story. You can share your pain. You can talk about the struggles in your life. You can talk about the pits in your life, and you can share the promises that God has fulfilled. You can show people the patterns you've discovered. You can share with them, "Hey, I know it seems really dark right now, but let me show you what God did in my life. Let me show you how God brought me out of this. And I believe if you trust him with it, he can bring you out the very same way." It's like we said, what if your pit is part of someone else's promise? I know Joseph wasn't excited about talking about dreams. I've already said that. I know there's part of you that isn't excited about talking about some of that pain and sharing that because you're afraid you're going to relive it. But what if the reason God wants you to share it is so that you can see hope in other people's lives and can receive healing in your own? Think about that. As you share the pain, but the lessons you learn from the pain, and you see hope in the other people, you receive healing for yourself, because you begin to see the reality of, okay, God really does have a promise. He really is turning the situation into good. He really is using this to make the world a better place. He really is fulfilling his promise. What if your pit is part of someone else's promise. And then our boy Joseph does one something he's never done in our entire story. It's the first time ever I could say he might do something a little selfish. I'm not saying it is selfish, but a little selfish. Joseph sees an opportunity here. He's just helped somebody who's very influential, very powerful, has Pharaoh's ear, is with the Pharaoh all the time. So Joseph kind of leans in and says, hey, would you please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you? When you get out, can you mention me to Pharaoh so you might let me out of this place? He says, for I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. Nothing at all. So Joseph's like, hey, can you help a brother out when you get out of here, please? Will you tell Pharaoh to let me out of this place? We don't know what happens quite yet, because then, before he can even respond, the chief baker, who's been sitting there, who heard the dream, who's super stoked right now because the first guy's dream and meant he was going to get out in 3 days, he shares his dream with Joseph, and the dream's kind of long, so I'm just going to skip it. He shares the dream, and Joseph's, because he has to tell the truth, Joseph's like, okay, well, I'll tell you what your dream means too. He says, this is what the dream means. Joseph told him. He says, 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Hope. There's no principle there at all. That's just a bad day. That's just bad news, man. You know, and there's no way to avoid it. That's just bad news. And you know what? That's exactly what happens. Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. And at that meeting, the chief cupbearer brought back into the fold, the chief baker is executed. And that's just what happens. Now, I don't want you to get too hung up on their results, right? Because unfortunately, they lived in a place where they thought Pharaoh was God. Pharaoh was their God. So the only promise they were going to get was what Pharaoh could give them. Side note, pretty dangerous to make people your gods. Sometimes they'll bring you out of prison. Sometimes they will impale you on a pole. They didn't have a promise because they weren't following God with their life. But the principle remains the same, that Joseph saw someone in the pit and Joseph chose to step in and say, you don't know who follows God and who doesn't. You don't know who has the promise and who doesn't. So our job is to step into as many pits as possible and to share the patterns and the struggles that we've learned ourselves. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph understood the principle we're trying to get at today. He understood this idea of what if your pit is part of someone else's promise? What if part of God's plan for your life is to use your pain to propel other people to their promise? What if God wants to use the hurts of your past to provide hope for someone else's future? Are you willing to step into the pit like Joseph did? Are you willing for God to use you to fulfill his purposes in other people's life? Are you willing and open to what if that is the promise of the pain that's happened in your life? What if the promise isn't specifically something great's going to happen to you? What if the promise is, I'm going to use what happened to you to provide good to other people? What if that's the promise? Is that enough? Is that okay? Joseph said yes. And I believe we should too, because we've been talking about this promise now for the last 3 weeks, and it's a promise that we learn actually from the New Testament, from a man named Paul. Paul was an early church pastor who wrote many letters to churches. We believe God spoke through Paul when he wrote those letters, and we can read those letters almost 2,000 years later, and we can know what God wants us to do in our life. In his letter to the church in Rome, he delivers the promise we've been talking about now for 3 weeks in Romans 8 when he says this: we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What if the pit wasn't for your good? What if it's for the good? What if it's for the good of your kids? What if it's for the good of your neighbor? What if it's for the good of your sibling? What if God wants to use your pit to protect someone else, to propel them towards their promise. Are you okay with that? Are you willing to step in and let God use you like that? See, I know for a fact there are people in this room who have struggled with heartache. You have struggled with betrayal. You have struggled with people doing the exact opposite of what they said they would do. You've struggled with dishonesty. You've been heartbroken. You've failed. You've been rejected. And you look back on those moments now and laugh because you're like, oh, thank God they said no. Because God has taken you out of the pit and propelled you to your promise. So now when you look back and when you go back on those experiences and when you look for other people to share them with when they are in the pits, will you step into their pit? Now others of you, you haven't experienced the promise yet. You're still struggling. You're in pain right now. You are struggling right now and you don't see God in the moment yet. But I guarantee you, there are still people in your life who are hurting too. There are still people in your life that are struggling just like you are. So the question for you is, will you embrace what Joseph understood, that when there's a pit, there's a pattern. When struggles happen, there's a pathway out. Will you look for people, even in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your pit, will you look for other people to say, you know what, I can help you in this moment. I can speak into your life in this moment, not because of anything I've done, but because of who God is. God's taught me this lesson, and I want to share it with you because I think it might be valuable to you. I think it might help you today. I think it might set you free today. Because, see, here's the reason this is so important in Joseph's life, okay? The fact that Joseph was willing to step into the pits of other people positioned him for God's promise. Let me say that again. The fact that Joseph was willing to step into other people's pits positioned him for God's promise. Remember the chief cupbearer? He's got a ton of influence. And Joseph said, hey, dude, when you get out of here, man, will you hook brother up? Will you remind him of me? Well, guess what? That didn't happen. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. It didn't work out. He gets out. He moves on with life. And Joseph's still stuck in prison. He stepped into the pit. He tried to help a brother out. And nothing happens in return. And so I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, see, there it is. That's proof. We shouldn't help other people. They're just gonna drop us too. They're not going to be there. But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. You don't know the future. I don't know the future. God does. Joseph didn't know the future. Joseph just knew, even in my pit, I'm going to cling to God, and I'm going to step into the lives of other people. If I can provide help for them, if I can share the patterns I've learned with them, I'm going to do it because that is the right thing to do. And you may say, how did that position him? For God to fulfill his promise, Trey, I don't understand. Well, that's because you haven't read the rest of the story. Look what happens next. When 2 full years had passed, 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream that he didn't understand. And he couldn't figure it out. And he brings in his officials, and they can't figure it out. And he brings in the wisest men of the land, and they can't figure it out. And then the chief cupbearer goes, oh, man, Pharaoh, man, I forgot. There's this dude named Joseph in prison. And he can interpret dreams. And that's where we're going to pick up next week. Because Pharaoh calls Joseph in. And Joseph has the most important conversation in his life. But had Joseph been selfish in his pit, if Joseph had wallowed in his pit, if Joseph had not embraced the truth that when there's a pit, there's a pattern, and if Joseph had not understood that sometimes God wants to use your pit to fulfill other people's purpose, to fulfill other people's promise, to move through you, to change the world around you, had he not embraced that truth, he would have missed the moment. The only reason he was able to speak to Pharaoh was because he stepped into the pit of the chief cupbearer. He stepped in and he said, let me help you out here. Let me show you what I've learned. Let me help you fulfill your promise. So today as we wrap up, I want to challenge you, even in the midst of your pit, even in the midst of your struggles, look for the lessons that God has taught you. Look for the ways God has brought you out, and look for ways to pour into other people, to share with others about how God has changed you. Look to pour into other people's pits, because it very well likely, it just might be the way God positions you for your promise. Because here's what's going to happen next week. I'll give you a little preview. Joseph meets with Pharaoh. And then Joseph takes the final step that we're going to talk about next week. He moves out of the pit. And he begins specializing in pit prevention. What if God wants to position you to fulfill a promise through you so that you can begin to prevent the pits in the life of others? To prevent the pain, to prevent the struggle, all because of what God has done through you. The very same God that moved through Joseph is ready and willing to move through you today. If you're here today and you're in a pit, I want you to feel the hope that you are not alone. I want you to feel the hope that God has an exit strategy. I want you to feel the hope that not only is God going to bring you out of the pit, but you're not purposeless in the pit. God can even use you in the pit to change the lives of those around you if you simply allow Him to reveal the lessons of the pit, the patterns of the pit, that you can then begin to speak into the lives of your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers. That's your challenge today. And as we close, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, I want you to let the words kind of wash over you, and I want you to reflect on them, and I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind some people who are struggling, some people who need to learn some of the patterns of the pit that you've learned. I also want you to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with hope. Not knowledge. Not a path. Just hope. Just peace. Paul calls it the peace that passes understanding. That is the peace of the Holy Spirit that despite your circumstances today, despite your pit, you have hope. Not because of anything you can do, but simply because of who God is. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much, and I just thank you for every person in this room. Father, I pray as their pastor, that you will just bless them today, that you will teach them the lessons that you want them to learn, that you will give them opportunities to share with others what you have taught them in their pits. And as they step into the pits of others, Father, may it position them to receive your promise, just like it did for Joseph. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.